Realities explores the paranormal, preternatural, and supernatural worlds that surround us. Here we delve into those topics that challenge us to think outside the limitations of realism, where we test the boundaries of imagination and are forced to think outside the confines and restrictions of what is normal. We are the creators, the writers, the artists, and the insane. Welcome to our Weird Realities.
Happy Wednesday, Weird Wednesday. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
How about you?
Pretty good. Today's been crazy. I've had a lot of unexpected things happen. But we're here and we're doing great. So, Bethany, I'm so super stoked to have you here and as part of the Weird team, because I have been a huge fan of you ever since I saw you on D.A. Roberts. He had a panel on something and probably zombies, and there you were, and it was like your personality I just fell in love. I wanted to work with you. I wanted to get to know you better, and finally 2 years later here we are.
Well, I'm glad to be here. So super excited.
Tell us a little bit about the work that you do writing.
Well, I have Highway of the Dead, which is my zombie series. And the first one is Highway of the Dead Uprising. And that one is just ragtag group of people who travel across country. There's a couple different groups in different spots. And, maybe they'll meet up, maybe they won't. I don't know. Some people are searching for some people. It's a pretty fun read. And then I have just some fun anthology stories that I have out. Someone who makes an appearance in a lot of different anthologies is Gabby Jones. She's like my favorite person ever. And she's all fictional, but I love her. But she's a monster hunter and she travels cross country in her Airstream with her two dogs and she hunts monsters. And, she's going to be getting her own book out soon too. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah.
Tell she's like your passion project.
I love her, man. I'm so excited. It took a long time for her to come out, and now that she's out, I'm like, oh, I gotta introduce her correctly.
Hey, Lanza. Hey.
Well, I don't write, so I just have the pleasure of being a reader. But sometimes it's those characters like that, though, that draw you in and keep you coming back. Mm-hmm. I know that's for me personally. I like when a character keeps popping up in other places because it keeps them relevant. And it also, if that's who pulled me in to begin with, that's who I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's awesome to have you here, by the way. Sometimes I feel like the guys outnumber us. And that's not at all true, but it just feels that way someday.
Yes. They definitely have a presence on a lot of shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're awesome. I mean, but like say, I've seen you on a couple of panels and stuff, and I have always enjoyed your unique input on everything too. So it's great having you here.
Well, thank you.
And we're super happy to have you part of the team. And I can't wait to see what you do. I know you haven't met everyone yet because we're such a scattered group of people. Mm-hmm. And you're in Arizona, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're like the sole person in the mountain time zone
for half the year in Arizona. Yeah, it's kind of interesting because Arizona doesn't change time zones. So half the year I'm like one time zone, and the other half I'm the other time zone. So I'm constantly having to Google what time zone I'm in, or like or like what time everyone else is at.
Wow. Yeah, that would get, ooh. I have enough trouble keeping up with all that, so I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, and this is always my go-to when I meet one of you, is what is your inspiration? Why zombies?
Zombies are fun, and they're so versatile. Like, there's so many different types of zombies. But I think that's just kind of what the craze was at the time. So I was just like, well, I could write a book on that. So that's what kind of started Highway. Deep down, I always had Gabby in my heart, but Highway's still pretty fun. I got some good characters in there that people associate with. And I mean, who doesn't like hearing about the end of the world and knowing they don't have to go to work the next day? Like, that's kind of half the perk of an apocalypse, right? So.
Right. Because then every once in a while you'll catch, like on the Sci-Fi Channel, it'll be like a full mm-hmm. Saturday of nothing but different apocalyptic endings.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, no, I don't want to die that way. Oh, that one wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, yeah, I could do that.
As long as they're slow zombies and I can outrun them.
Exactly. You know. Yes. Yeah. The fast ones, no chance, but maybe a little bit with the slow ones.
Right. Right. And, you know, I have an ongoing bait list. So I have this group of people I plan to have with me mm-hmm. that serve no other purpose than to chunk out to the zombies so we can get away.
That is perfect. I love that.
And this is why we're friends.
Yeah. Right.
So I can stay off that list.
Yes, that's right. Hey, but you know, you've been part of planning that list for many, many years.
I have people on it myself.
That's right.
So, it's a joint task force.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, you know, and you kind of get into, you know, over the years, people change and everything, but there have been, you know, just certain things that you kind of stick with, you know, mm-hmm. and it's your core group of people. That's pretty much one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Even though life happens, sometimes you still end up back where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm sorry.
Leia fits right in with us. Don't let her hold you.
But you do kind of do that sometimes, though. You kind of think about your everyday life and like where you're at. If something would happen, you're like, who would I actually try and go save or hook up with or something, you know?
Right. But,
and then there's people you're like, eh, you know, they're kind of on their own.
So. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, they're going to get us killed.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you would not be in my group. Like, right. Not you, but like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Exactly. Because, you know, it kind of came out because somebody made the comment one day. And I think it was at work, is I guess I'm on your shit list. I'm like, oh, no, actually, I have a bait list now. You're on it. And he's like, what does that even mean? And I told him, he goes, oh my God. And he just walked away. And I'm like, okay, he'll leave me alone for a while anyway. So, yeah.
He's going to be telling that story. He's like, some lady put me on this list of being bait for zombies one time.
Well, you know, you really don't want to get on that list. Hey, Cecil. But, you know, I mean, it was one of those things at that moment in time, you know, he knew he had stepped over a line. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked the original question.
Yeah.
So. You know, anyway,
if you have to ask, you're probably on the list.
That's there you go. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So. Well, I'm going to take a moment and shout out to our two viewers. Clarence Cecil Fletcher is Cecil, and he is from the Where in the Folk podcast, that they are big partners with us. And he is got a seat on Morgana's panel for Weird Awakening. So okay. It's him and Tully. Is his sidekick there, and he's awesome. And like I said, I just added on, so you'll be chatting more with Cecil and hopefully Tully before long. And Landa is our faithful fan, and we just love Landa to death. She
absolutely.
I think she said the other day that her dogs are starting to recognize our voices.
I love that. That's
perfect. Yes, well, Ellie is his sidekick and former lover.
Yeah. We don't talk about that often, but he is a weirdo, Landa. He is very much a weirdo.
And Mark Eady is one of our friends and supporters from out in the podcast community. He has got his own, I think it's an iHeartRadio show, and he does a lot of the, like, weird research stuff and he's connected with a lot of the great nonfiction people that we've done interviews with and such. So Mark Eady is a good friend of ours.
Absolutely. Yes. So, you know, and you'll the ones that you don't already know, you will definitely start meeting, because, you know, we've got a great group of people that come listen to us and pretty much across all of it. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And Bethany's going to have her own segment coming up soon, which I'm super excited about. And I think you might have seen some of the positive response that got on our inner group the other day with the cryptid researchers. They're super excited. Yeah. Logan and Stephen Hill, and they're just incredible.
Yeah, really excited about that one.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
But I need to get the specifics on it.
it'll happen. So what else do you like to do?
Well, I work. I guess it's not what I like to do. It's what I do.
You.
apparently, I have cats. So here's Indy. He's visiting.
Hi, Indy.
He likes to make an appearance on a lot of the podcasts. Apparently.
Is he named after Dr. Jones or after the
space? He is. Yes, awesome. He's named after Indiana Jones. And I have a Sherlock after Sherlock Holmes. So they're brothers. Awesome.
Yep.
But fun stuff. Yeah, I read a lot. I have two stepdaughters, so half the time they're over at our house, so we get to hang out and have fun and just hang out with family. And I watch a lot of TV too. I like TV.
Yeah, that's what we do here around the weird world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dude, that would be a good idea. I need to research that. Yes.
That's what documentary's on.
Oh, yes. We actually do a documentary show.
She's on it. She just, we
that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's it. There you go. the craziness of life. But yeah. Hey, New Year's coming up. I'm going to get on track. I promise.
I think we all always say that. It never happens. None of us do.
That's why we try and keep it so laid back. A lot of people don't understand why we have so many different things going on, because that's how our mind works. Number one, we all have so many different interests and want to take part in all the great stuff that we're doing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes stuff comes up with your kids or your work and you just can't make it. So I don't ever want anyone to feel like they can't take part in something because they didn't show up one time.
Yeah,
so it's a matter of, when you can show up, and if you can't, we understand.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's too another thing that I think keeps it interesting is we do have people popping in and out. So there's always a different perspective.
Exactly.
And then we have friends who show up sometimes too.
Yes. And if we ever, and I'm working on this, figure out how to get call-ins going, that's going to be fun.
That would be funny.
Which yeah. StreamYard will allow there to be call-ins. We just have to figure it out.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're trying to grow into being adults, but it'll be a real podcast one day. But until then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited to be a part of all of this. When Hadley reached out, it was so funny because she was like, she sent me a message and she was like, hey, would you ever be interested in a podcast? And then she called me up and spent, like, do you remember that? She spent like an hour talking to me about the podcast. And she's like, so what do you think? And I was like, you had me at, what do you think about a podcast?
It's because we missed you, Landa. When you're not here, we notice.
Yeah, we don't want to offend you, Landa. I think we might have offended.
Right. But no, and that's it was kind of the same thing too. Like I said, life happens sometimes, and Hadley and I hadn't spoken in a while and everything, and then we had started speaking again, the same thing. Hey, so I've been doing this podcast. Would you be interested? And I'm like, okay, sure, let's do that.
Mark Eady was so wonderful about connecting me with some really great nonfiction writers. Mm-hmm. And I was working and I just didn't have the time to do the interviews anymore. And I thought, who better to be a, research interview person than Morgana, because I've known her for years and she so intensely studies everything she does. And if you look at that list of stuff they have going on for Weird Awakening, but it's great. You'll have to come on that show sometime too.
Yeah. Now, absolutely. How did you two meet? You said you'd known each other for like 20 years.
Yeah, we've been friends since 2002.
That's right. That's right. Because it was the year after my dad passed. And I was looking for those like-minded people we always talk about. And at the time, Hadley had started an online group of just women. And I found it. And it snowballed from there. I mean, we built up to a huge group of friends and that are mostly still intact. Some people come and go, but for the most part, it was just really good. I mean, you know, you meet those people that belong to a part of your soul and your family and everything. So
mm-hmm. you just kind of click.
That's right. That's right.
Now, where in the fault is that Tully?
I'm thinking so. And I don't quite have 10 years. I resent that. Three tops. So, hey, Alan. But yes, we don't even have what we've got in the bag all posted because it's a lot. But like I said, every time we have a conversation, I have a list of five or six more things to add. So,
well, Bethany, if you're around on Friday, you'll have to jump on Weird Awakenings. They're going to be talking about skinwalkers. Yeah. And there is a psychic that is a Native American lady that she does paranormal research and stuff, and she's going to jump on and talk.
Yep.
So it should be
nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I've been looking forward to meeting Caitlin.
Yeah, there's a lot of different folklore with skinwalkers and stuff, so that would be very interesting.
Yep, yes, exactly. So, well, thank you, Landa. And that's been what's also been great, you know, with the guys from Where in the Folk. I mean, they've been friends, you know, just from starting out with an interview here, an interview there. But, you know, they bring so many new people to the mix, too, because that's the one we've got this weekend is with a friend of theirs. So, you know, like I said, it's worked out really well. You know, I love it. Absolutely love it. The stranger the conversation, the better. If we could go one full conversation without the word CERN coming into it, guys, it would be great.
I did not even know what CERN was until I met him and Tully.
Right.
I'm like, I don't even really know what it is.
I'm sure given a minute, he'll or people will clear it up for us. But like I said, the thing about weird realities that I try and impress on folks is we want to be the friends that you get together and talk about the stuff with, because that's who we are to each other. Mm-hmm. We're not professional researchers. We don't have all the answers. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. And that's kind of where Weird Realities was born, was from that, taking that and creating a story.
Yeah.
So I love that we have Joe Hansen doing his lowballing show now and really reaching out to people in the writing community and publishing community. So it's just amazing. And like I said, it's great to have someone fresh like you on board and all that energy that you're bringing. And just like I said, go with it. If you need our help, you know, we're here. We're going to do everything we can to make you as successful as possible. And that's one reason I wanted to hurry up and get you on before the first of the year, because I want to start promoting your books and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So we definitely need to have more girl monster hunters out there.
Right? Exactly.
I just feel with the show Supernatural ending, there's just like a nice little niche in there. So I was like, oh, it's like perfect time.
Yeah. That's it. So
a lot of our people are huge Supernatural fans. So
how can you not be? It was such a great show.
Right. Well, hey, Dean is my spirit animal. So, you know, everyone needs a Dean in their heart. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I've really noticed about the male writers that we have in our group too is that they're also big on strong female characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Sylvester, I read one of his when I was getting interviewing him, and you know, he had a very strong female character. So like I said, you know, I like seeing that more, because for so long, you know, she screamed and got killed. You know,
she ran upstairs.
That's right, there you go, or into the basement. Yeah, you know, something equally silly with her heels on.
Yeah,
so like I said, you know, it is nice to see
with no top.
There you go, that's it.
Yeah, we won't even get into how some people describe women in books too.
Right. Exactly. So it is, for me, it's very, one, refreshing, but two, it's just awesome to read some of these strong female characters that, you know, and like I said, you know, as women, you tend to do that too, or more naturally, I think. So seeing the guys do it, I think is incredible.
Yeah.
Now your background, and forgive me if I'm incorrect, your dad was military.
Yes. Right? Yeah. My dad was Air Force. And I kind of had like a fun background where I didn't move as much as most military kids, but I still moved more than the average kid. So we would kind of like, but we always kept coming back to Tucson. So every time we would like move away and then we go to Tucson, and then we move away, come back to Tucson. So I kept coming back to Tucson in different stages, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that is unusual for military to, you know, go back to a place.
Yeah. Well, he flew helicopters, and Tucson actually has a big rescue squadron here. Mm-hmm. So because he was a helicopter pilot, he kept getting transferred back to Tucson for that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely awesome. Fun and unique.
Yeah.
How did that influence your writing?
A lot, actually. My dad's a big influence for me, and I mean, as you can tell, if anyone's read my book, the Highway of the Dead, you have Dan Stutzman, or Dan Stone is in the book, and that's definitely based off my dad. And it's so funny because as a kid growing up, my parents were very much like not into Halloween, scary stuff, anything like that. Like they were very like, I wasn't allowed to celebrate Halloween for a few years. And nowadays they'll actually call me up and they'll be like, "Hey, we got an idea for your book. Like, here's what they're gonna do." And I'm like, "What?" So it's so fun to see them get really excited about these characters and these stories. And my mom, she's so funny because she's like, "You killed me off in like the first 5 minutes of the book." And I was like, no, that's a different character. You're gonna be in the next book, I promise." And now I'm like, I gotta write a character for my mom now. Like,
it's gotta be a good one that does not get killed off.
I know. I have a very good character in mind for my mom. I've already told her about it. I've gotten the approval. So
all right. That's good. Don't want to upset mom.
Yeah, no.
But you know, it's funny, the whole not celebrating Halloween and stuff. My mom and my niece both have Halloween birthdays.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it was kind of one of those things of, even had my parents not been inclined, we'd still be celebrating, yeah, you know, the day itself. Yeah. So as a matter of fact, my sister-in-law at one point had someone tell her she should not be celebrating Halloween. It was evil, this, that, and the other. And she's like, yeah, you know, my daughter would totally disagree with that. And she just turned around and walked off.
Nice.
But, yeah, you know, it's, I mean, that's my favorite time, you know. Yeah, exactly.
It's fun. You can make it or break it, whatever holiday you're into. I like Halloween, but it's not like, I don't like go crazy over it, but I really like Halloween. Mm-hmm. But I just like monsters and tales, right, and stories. And
gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's always fun.
Yeah, I'm that person that goes crazy over it.
No, it's totally cool. I wish I had the patience for it.
Oh yeah, no, it's Christmas is the one that I'm tired of by November.
Yeah,
you know, because everything's out in the store. It's like, we have niches here, you know, mm-hmm, from this month to this month is this, you know, holiday. But
yes,
you know, again, to each their own. You know, I've got a friend that literally leaves her Christmas stuff up year round.
Yep. And I've seen people take their tree and change it with each holiday. I thought that was kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So like, they have like a Halloween tree and like a Christmas tree and then like a, I don't know, Valentine's Day tree. Like, it's kind of neat how they do some stuff.
Yeah. Well,
every year we do Mardi Gras trees.
Yeah. I was going to say, ours at work stays up from November until March because we do Christmas and then we do Mardi Gras.
Nice.
So it's like they blend them together.
Yeah.
Yep. So Mardi Gras is always fun, as long as I don't have to go to New Orleans and be in the middle of it.
There you go.
I am going to try and get everybody together for some Christmas ghost stories.
That would be fun.
Because yes. I don't know if y'all know that, but that's what Christmas Eve used to be. People used to get together and tell ghost stories.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, that's where Charles Dickens wrote Scrooge, because it's a ghost story.
Yeah, it is.
So, is it that you did an anthology, Hadley, last year? Was it last year?
Yeah.
And it was Christmas horror stories, that's right?
You in the anthology?
Yeah. Yep. Gabby Jones is in it.
Okay, cool. So see, that would be a really good thing. You know, you guys, we should get together and like do some readings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have some news. I didn't want to drop it just yet, but there's going to be 10 minutes of Dick coming soon.
10 minutes? Really?
Yes, Mr. Rich Restucci is going to be doing some readings from some of his favorite authors.
That's nice. Awesome. I like that.
He has a very good, like, melatonin voice. So he'd be good at that.
Yeah. Yes. And he's actually the I'm going to bow down to Miss Thorne on this one. Zombies are not my preferred genre. I mean, I can read it and everything, but it's not my go-to. But Rich Restucci was the first writer that I read that I'm like, you know, maybe I haven't given this a fair chance. So he writes
brilliant.
So he well. Brilliant. Yes, he really is. And so I thoroughly enjoyed his run series.
That I just started that today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Audible.
Chaos, the Chaos Theories, those are my favorite. Mm-hmm. But anything he writes is great. But he wrote Run when he was in high school.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, Rich wasn't even a part of our group when you recommended that set. That was just like, oh, you've got to read this set of books.
And Rich and Mark Tufo are who turned me on to zombies. I've been reading prepper fiction and somehow just got picked it up on Audible. I think it was no one reads this but me. And I tell everyone, you have to read The Book of Riley by Mark Tufo. And if you like animals, you have to read it.
Yes.
And it is genius. Anybody that can make me laugh out loud with their writing is someone I consider a phenomenal writer.
Yeah.
And both Restucci and Tufo both do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you haven't read The Book of Riley, there are 5 books, and it's about the dogs and the cat of a family during the zombie apocalypse looking after the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the funniest stuff ever.
Yes, because I have these pictures of Riley and Ben in my head. if he ever gets to a movie with it and they don't cast them properly, I'm going to be so upset.
A strongly worded letter by Morgana.
That's right. There you go. Yes. And like I said, you know, they you felt the animals, you know, just seeing everything from the perspective of the dogs and a cat were just so unique, you know, and I think that's huge. Just, you know, the fact that it was unique in the approach to it and everything. So loved them. Absolutely loved them.
Great.
So I'm getting more into the zombie thing. I've got this list on my Kindle to download, read, and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah,
that just gets longer and longer every time I meet somebody, you know, new that writes. I'm like, oh, okay, I've got to go read that now. Mm-hmm. So, yes,
yeah, Tufo got me started.
Landa has mentioned Jamie Hernandez, who's another great zombie writer. We're surrounded with some really great writers. I mean, I just have to say, I don't know why these people have come into my life like they have, and I just feel so blessed and lucky to have them. Joe Hansen has written some great stuff, which I don't know if you've read Splinter.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's dark and it scared me.
Yeah,
I like would only read it during the day.
Nice.
And you know, and Joe's one. I mean, he's so willing to help you. It's just incredible. And Alan's great. Alan's new book came out today, and I'm really excited to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
And who else? I'm drawing a blank. Like I said, today's been crazy. Of course, there's Rich and Scott Baker. My God, Scott Baker writes. He's all over the place. And if you haven't had a chance to read his Nazi science fiction alien book,
no. That's a good one. That's awesome.
And I helped him with some tarot stuff in his latest Tatiana book. It was the ghost of the Maria Dora, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
you know, the community. Oh, yeah, no, the community here is just insane how uplifting the community is. for indie horror writers. Yes. It's just insane how much they want to help. And like, they don't look at people as competition, like other authors. They're like, no, what can we do to help you out? Like, let's help promote. And here's cool ideas. And here's like my editor I use and stuff. Everyone's so eager to help and jump in and just lift everyone up. It's insane. And it's so welcoming. It's like a breath of fresh air for like anyone.
And that's why when people are kind of, excuse my language, folks, assholes about it, I don't understand it. Because one author cannot generate enough content to please a reader.
Yeah.
And so why be that way? You know?
And there's plenty of ideas.
Yeah, I've seen people be really ticky about, oh, well, you can't sell your books there and sell your books here. And it's like, we're all just trying to make a buck, man. Mm-hmm. You know, well, it's not hurt anybody.
And the thing is, from a reader standpoint too, you know, if I read your book and I know you, you're going to say, oh, by the way, Bethany's got this new book and I'm going to read it because I trust your judgment. You know, I know if you told me, oh, you need to read this, that it's going to be a great read. So why have all of the strife and everything when, like I said, you know, I have had more new authors in the last few years that I'm in love with than I probably did for 15 years before, mm-hmm. you know, because all of these phenomenal indie writers are just, you know, you're like, wow, where have you guys been all my life?
Well, Amazon has made a huge difference in a writer. When you look at, you know, Morgana, when we were growing up, you'd go to the grocery store and it would just be like the top 10 books from the New York Times bestsellers, and that was pretty much what the majority of people were exposed to,
right? Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you started having your Barnes and Nobles and your Books a Million and your Borders coming along, and so there started being more books, but still so many books for whatever reason weren't being picked up unless you had the right sun, moon, and stars when you submitted it to these people, or the right letter, your letter said the right things. But what about all those people who, like me, can't write a blurb? I can't write a blurb to save my life. You know, that's not going to be a great sell for me. But I don't know. It's just, like I said, it's just so complex. And yet, Amazon just really stepped up and they're like, let's just get as much good content out there as possible.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you think of how quickly you read through a book too, versus how long it takes to write a book. So if you don't have like a plethora of authors to choose from, then you're basically sitting around waiting for another book to be released. But you can read through so many books in such a short time that it's nice to have that variety of all the different authors there too.
Yeah. There was a time in my life that I would go through about 2 books a week minimum. Mm-hmm. And that's when you had to go to the library and check books out and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can remember waiting for David Eddings to write the next book in the series I was reading and trying to find somebody to fill that space, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, I came from a small town, so there were very limited in the types of books they would bring in too. Because, you know, if it was in any way outside of the norm, I guess is what I'm looking for, right, then you really did not, they didn't carry that book. The only one thing I will give them credit for is my hometown does have a bona fide witch. So they would bring in witch stories, but, you know, that was about it. You know, no vampires, no anything like that. Mm-hmm. So when they started opening up more venues, you know, when I could go to the mall, like say, and go to Borders or anywhere like that, and you know, if nothing else, even as a teenager, go hit their sales rack and walk out with 10 books. You know, it was huge. So Amazon is definitely, mm-hmm. you know, huge now, because that's where I get, you know, the majority of my books. Now, the thing is, too, though, if I like the book, I'm still going to purchase it to keep, you know, mm-hmm. at home. I'm going to get the actual hard copy book. But that's made it easier for me to do that because, you know, there's very little buyer's remorse when I physically buy a book mm-hmm. because I've read it. I know it's good. I know I love it. And I know I want to collect that writer. So.
Well, it's definitely a good time to be a writer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that people are buying books, but we sure are writing them.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I do read, like I said, you know, Audible was very difficult for me because back forever ago, the first time I listened to a book on disc, the narrator was horrible. So it was actually this group of people who were like, oh, give it another chance. You know, they've got, you know, you can even listen to samples of readers now. So that was huge because now I can actually, you know, while I'm driving, I'm listening to something. And while I'm working, I'm listening to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember being, because we would go across country a lot. And I remember driving or being in the family RV, and you would stop at certain gas stations. And I would always want to go to these certain gas stations because they always had CD books. And you could get the CD book at one gas station, then you could like return it at another gas station.
Oh, cool.
And so that was like my first, you know, books on tape type mm-hmm. stuff. I would always get those. But yeah. I love Audible because, like you said, every time I'm driving somewhere, I got an Audible playing. What Rich's book that I'm listening to, it's on Audible. Mm-hmm. But even at work, like on Wednesdays, I do the truck in the morning at where I work at. So I do all the inventory and we unload truck and stuff and I just mm-hmm. sort all the product. So I just sit there with my Audible and listen to that instead of music. And I'm just, you know, yep. rocking out.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And it took me a minute to get used to working and listening at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's like when somebody needs me, they have to come physically like tap me on the shoulder because I've yeah. got the book going and I'm reading and, you know. So.
Well, Bethany, is your book on Audible?
It's not yet. No. I figured I wanted to get like at least the second one out before I started justifying paying for Audible and finding a narrator and stuff.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cool. Yes. Because, you know, a bad reader can ruin a book.
Yeah.
And everything. So that's, I listened to, I don't know if you're familiar with V Wars that Jonathan Mayberry and a bunch of other
yes.
writers yeah. did. Well, in the Audible of those, each writer has their own reader doing their parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a set of four. And there is this one reader that drives me insane. And I just skip over the guy's story. And it's mm-hmm. a good story. I just can't stand listening to him.
Yeah. That was like in World War Z, the, mm-hmm. you know, how it's basically the actual book is a collection of stories. And they did the same thing. They had a bunch of like actors and well-known people come in and narrate short, you know, each chapter. And there's mm-hmm. like this one chapter that's a really cool chapter. And I was really disappointed because the person who was reading it, the way he would talk, he would kind of trail off at the end of the sentence, you know?
Okay,
and you're like, oh,
right.
And then he'd start talking really loud again and then trail off again. And I was like, oh, I can't. This is too yeah. stressful.
Yes. Yes. I totally get it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and like I said, and I hate when that happens because, you know, it's usually something that's very well written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person just, you know, doesn't fit. And I'm not saying that they don't fit somewhere in something, but it just right. generally is not where I want them to be.
Yes. So. Yeah. It's not pleasurable to your ears.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I'm real bad about that. When I was trying to find my reader for my book, I listened to probably 100 different voice actors. And it's just the first couple of seconds and then turn it to the next one. Because if I don't like the tone, I can't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up and I've got this amazing guy. His name is Christopher Cope. And he is my character for my second book, the male character. But I'm using him to read the one with the female character, too. Yeah. I like his voice so much. And I told him I want him to read the whole series when I'm done because he's got the right amount of Southern to it,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't sound fake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. that, when you're from the South, trust me, that's something that you really don't want somebody who's got a fake accent to read her stuff.
Yes.
But, I feel like in my books that the location is part of, you know, it's one of the main characters. So I really wanted somebody that's kind of from this area to read it. And he actually, I think, grew up in New Orleans and then moved to Arkansas. So he has just enough redneck into that Cajun accent that it works.
Yes. Yes, he's phenomenal. And like I said, he's got the voice I expected when I originally read the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, when I heard him, it was like, that's it. That's him. I know him. And Landa's saying he's great.
Yep.
Girl, I think that all of us females could probably listen to him read a bottle of shampoo bottle and be happy.
Right. Yep.
What I'm was it? Trevor Noah had Idris Elba on on his show, and he was trying to find things to like not make Idris sexy. He's like, and so one of them was reading a recipe, and Trevor read it, and of course he was like, you know, exaggerating a little bit, and then of course Ida read it, and they put on this music and this lighting in the background. Like, you can't even read a recipe, you're still sexy.
That's right.
Trevor though was pretty sexy too, so I don't know what he was doing.
He is, yeah. He came to Tucson with a stand-up, and it was terrific. It was so good. He's such a brilliant person.
He really is.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, very intelligent.
He would not take that job if they would not let him continue with his stand-up, because that's his main thing. Yeah, mm-hmm.
He is so fun. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference. Like I said, you know, it's not that he's not necessarily sexy, but he's so cute.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God, those dimples.
Yep. That's it. That's it exactly. So, but yes, I have not seen his stand up. So I may have to go look some of that up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know if I shared it with y'all or not, but I was watching Dave Chappelle the other day, and it was an old one where Charlie Murphy is talking about when they met Prince.
Oh,
and it's probably my favorite Dave Chappelle. I'll share it with y'all later because it's terrible. But
yeah.
Dave Chappelle has such a unique outlook on stuff. He's another one of those people who's just, you wouldn't expect how intelligent he really is by the way he acts, but when you actually listen to what he says, and it's almost feel like some of his stand-up, he's like trying to teach people stuff.
Well, but I think that a lot of these stand-up comedians, people don't realize what brilliant minds they have.
Yeah.
And how sharp and tuned into political,
exactly,
you know, pulse of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I see what you're saying. Like I said, I love it. There's some really great comedians out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Well, like I said, you know, you really do have to listen to them, you know, to get a lot of what they're saying, because I had someone, we were talking about George Carlin. Love George Carlin. And he made some comment. I'm like, you've never actually listened to him, did you? Well, what does that mean? I'm like, nothing. Just never mind.
You quote a few jokes, but you never listened to him.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was definitely how it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, again, to each his own. Some people you just have to walk away from.
Yeah.
But so what do you have coming up?
Well, I took a break from writing for a while. Just life stuff happened.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't give it as much dedication as I should have. But my nephew, he's 17, and he actually just published his book on manifestation. So that kind of kicked me where I'm like, okay, my nephew's publishing books now, so I should probably.
I was going to tell you, you should put that up on our website on like one of our blog posts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah, I like that. To help him. Plus, it's right up our alley with the, you know.
Yeah, he's such an amazing kid. Both my nephews are just amazing, amazing people. And Zachary, he's 17. He's dropped like, you know, 50 plus pounds, I think. And it's all through like his changing his mindset and just manifesting stuff. And then, yeah, he just wrote the book and published it. And I just woke up one morning and he had it published. I didn't even know. Like it was a Tuesday morning. I'm like, what? Like, he's like, oh yeah, I published a book. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like 17 years old, I was slinging pizza dough at Papa John's. Like that's what I was doing.
Right. So, I get it. Yeah. But yeah, definitely share that with us because I'd love to read it.
Yeah.
I would love to get it out there. Locally, I've got some ladies that do this thing called Metaphysical Mississippi. I'll be happy to share it with them too.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, that's up your alley. That everybody loves the manifestation stuff.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, I think with, a lot of stuff was out before, but I think the pandemic, one of the few good things to come out of the pandemic was, I think people are starting to realize stuff about themselves and their passions and what they want to be in tune to it. And you're seeing that with people coming out with like different Etsy shops and kind of leaving their normal job and just trying to do what they're passionate about. And I think it just brings a lot of awareness to stuff. And, you know, it's really cool seeing what everyone's coming up with now that they're trying to be in tune to themselves on stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're right. And that's one of the things I've noticed is so many people I knew quit their job and like started looking for that life hack, you know, where they could, you know, really enjoy their world again. And I know for me, that's something that, you know, having worked in the corporate side of things, for me, it's more about what makes me feel good and what I'm getting fed from. And by that, I mean like my nurturing my spiritual side and things like that. And it's, you know, that's more of what I want to do. There are things I ignore because life, and that's no way to live.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Like Londa was saying, I always say that too. I always say I'm a jack of all trades and a master of nothing. Like I can do random stuff.
And sometimes I think what my thing ends up doing is I've got so many interests. It's just trying to chisel away to the one, to the one that I'm going to focus my energy on and actually do. Because I'm a researcher and a half. If you need information, I can get it for you. But, you know, it's too much information, I think, is where I'm at.
Well, no, I'm serious. You know, it's tough out there. And for me, I am one of these people at any given time. I've got 16 browser windows open. You know, I'm doing 16 things. And then, you know, I don't know how to peel back and just focus on one. But when I do, it seems to do very well. But again, you know, it's like there's weird realities and then there's, you know, writing and then there's, you know, job stuff and then there's home stuff. And then there's, oh, wait, you want to have a personal life, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just hard to juggle everything.
Why would you want a personal life?
Linda's saying Adderall helps.
Okay. I may have to check in the head.
Earlier today.
Joe Rogan stuff to help you get rid of brain fog. So we'll see.
I had earlier today, I after work, because I work at Ulta, so we have a salon there too. So one of our new girls, she gave me a haircut. And as we were talking, you know, she's a young girl. Her name's Blue. She's got blue hair. She's super cute. And as we were talking, she was talking about how she's just trying to figure her life out, like what she wants to do, what she needs to do, her niche and stuff. And I told her, I was like, look, I'm twice your age. I was like, I am a career nail tech with an accounting degree who writes horror novels. I'm like, girl, there is no thing to figure out. Like, you just do what you need to do and what you feel good doing. Like, you don't need to decide at such a young age what you want to do your whole life. Like, life keeps changing. So is your ideas and what you want to do. So,
yep, that's it. That's it exactly, you know, and I think so many people do. Okay, I'm going to defend the younger generation for 2 minutes here.
Oh, no.
So, you know, there is a lot that goes on in their world that never went on in ours, you know, and I try to take all that into consideration and everything. But, you know, I was telling someone the other day when he was on this huge rant about a friend's, you know, 20-something had moved back in with him and yada yada. I'm like, you know, I found the paperwork here recently to where my parents bought their first house. It was a house with an acre of land. They paid $2,000 for it. I'm like, you're lucky if you can find rental for $2,000, you know, a month. And I'm like, you know, so I do try to look at all of that, you know, that it's probably not easy being, you know, a millennial anymore.
Yeah.
And everything. So, you know, I kind of look at that too, you know, because like I said, you know, there is a lot going on in this world that I'd hate to have to raise children right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's terrifying. But
Linda's saying that her daughter's high school made them pick a major.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
when my ex's kids were in high school in North Carolina, they were able to take classes at college. So when they graduated, they already, like, Stephanie got already had her LPN license.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to go straight into working and then work on becoming an RN.
Right.
Yeah. Wish I still live with my parents.
Yeah. Me too, sometimes.
My parents are dead, so I'm glad.
Well,
I'm
my dad is. Yeah.
I did actually recently live with my parents after I left my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to my boyfriend about that. I was like, I'm so thankful that I could live. Like, I had a place to go, you know, because a lot of women in the situation I was in don't have places to go. So I was very thankful for that. But at the same time, I was very thankful to get my apartment and move back out of my parents' house. Right. I love my parents, but I was like, I need my space. Like,
yes. Yes, absolutely. Right there with you. Because like I said, you know, I was daddy's girl. And I love my mother just as much as I ever loved my dad. But she and I are polar opposites, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm sarcastic and I'm a smart ass and I know these things about myself and she should know it too. She raised me. I can offend her by breathing wrong.
Oh gosh.
So, it's like, okay, mom, I love you. I'm just going to leave the room and I'm going to come back in and then we'll just pretend none of this ever happened. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And like I say, I'm thankful that I would have somewhere to go if I absolutely needed to, but I really am thankful that I don't have that need.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, we butted heads from, I think, the time I could walk. So yeah. There's nothing new about it.
My mom and, you know, but I look at kids today and I sound so old. I don't know that I could have navigated the system that they're navigating.
Right.
You know? I mean, everything's recorded on the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we were sneaking out of the house and going across town. And, you know, there was a time we might have stolen a sibling's car and taken it for a joyride. You know,
yes.
And now you just can't do any of that.
Yeah. So,
no wonder they stay home. No wonder they're not getting in trouble.
Right. No. I'm very thankful that I lived before social media.
Yes. Mine was like right the beginning of social media. We had MySpace when I was in high school. So
yeah.
We were just on the cusp of it, but I don't like, we had no clue what it would become. No, yes. We can never imagine anything how it is now. Right. And now here I am about to turn 40. I'm like TikTok, like all about TikTok.
Yeah, I'm not big into the TikTok, but my bestest friends and my husband are huge TikTok people. Mm-hmm. So I get TikToks throughout the day, every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, enough to say, oh yeah, I use TikTok.
Yeah.
So, well, there's Tully finds some of the most interesting things.
I know. TikTok.
And I'm like seeing, you know, hot men cutting firewood. I don't think I do it right. I get a lot of author stuff and then I get a lot of like thirst stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was like my boyfriend made the comment. He's like, why do you always have all these hot guys cooking on your TikTok? And I'm like, they got great recipes. Like, like have you seen this chicken salad? Like, it's amazing. And he's like, yeah, okay.
I got to say this, but I mean, the young men did not look like that when I was young.
Yeah.
No.
These are some very fit guys.
Mm-hmm.
Very fit.
Well, yeah, they're chopping wood.
Say, yeah, you know, most of the guys I grew up with did not outgrow me until we were, you know, 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a tall person. You know, the rest of my family is, but I'm not. But I agree with you. I remember sitting in the car with my daughter one day at Walmart, and this guy walks by, and I'm like, holy crap. And she goes, Mom, I go to school with him. I'm like, oh, my God.
You're so dirty.
I felt horrible. But like I said, they didn't grow them like that back then.
They didn't grow them like that.
All right, girls. Well, so what do y'all have planned for the holiday?
Low-key. Yeah. That's all I'm going out with is low-key. We have all the little ones over on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day, it's just me and Mo.
Are y'all going to go to New Orleans this year?
No, he is still not comfortable going over there. Just there's so much stuff going on, you know. And I hate that because I miss it. But, you know, if you turn on the news and watch it, I don't disagree with him at this point, but I still miss it.
Bethany, what about you?
I work retail, so
it's got a crazy holiday.
It is crazy. Yep. But for actual Christmas, fortunately, we're closed Christmas Day, so we're just gonna probably go up to my folks' house and hang out for a bit.
Awesome. How about you, Miss Hadley?
Turning weird realities dark. I'm gonna take a couple of days, spend it with my special friends, and just kind of chill out.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I've got lots of stuff planned for 2023. So y'all get ready.
Very excited for it all.
Yes, indeed.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it. I'm going to cut off a few minutes early. And Landa, Mark, Tully, Cecil, who else do we have? Alan Lassiter. Thanks, guys, for showing up. As always, we appreciate your support. And we love y'all. I'll talk to y'all later.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye.
Sorry.